And so this morning, I want to review really quickly over last week. We read two scriptures that I want to get into, and you don't have to turn there. You can turn to Ruth this morning if you want to. And I'm going to read you a couple scriptures that we had here. Let me see here. We read in Genesis 25 and 29 where Jacob... I won't read the whole scripture. I'll just get to the point of what it's talking about. So Jacob and Esau sold out his birthright. Don't worry about it. He sold out his birthright for what? For a morsel of food. He sold out his entire birthright. The Bible says he despised his birthright. How do you despise something? You don't give it any value on it. If you despise your spouse, you'll put no value on them. You'll put more value on your feelings, your emotions. You'll put more value on pleasure. You'll put more value on other things than your spouse, and that will cause you to despise your spouse. You know, I've had people say, well, I don't despise them. Yes, you do. If you don't put proper value on them, you are despising them. Oh, I'm so glad that, you know, that really set a lot of people free right then, I could tell. If you don't value your job, you despise your job. Some of you have been in jobs that you absolutely despise, so you know what I'm talking about. There's relationships that if you don't put the right value on a relationship, then you are despising that relationship. Now, and so... Esau did not value his relation or his covenant that he had with his father, because the firstborn got what? Everything. They got everything in their inheritance. Aren't you glad that that's not the case of today? Now, I, on the first hand, would be sitting pretty. Now, Lewis over here would lose everything. He would lose everything. And so Jacob... not really tricked Esau, but he weaseled Esau out of his inheritance. He did Esau wrong. He absolutely did Esau wrong. Now, Esau, one, I think Esau didn't believe it was going to happen. How can you sell out your birthright to your brother for a bowl of pottage? No matter how good that lentil soup is, how can you sell out your whole birthright? But what happened was Esau was not valuing his position. And this is what it comes down to, too. Jacob was in a place of bitterness because he didn't like his birthright. He didn't like the place he was born. And this has caused problems among siblings since the beginning of time, where they rank in their birth and if they feel that the parents show favoritism one over another. Mm-hmm. Now, you may have grew up in a house where you knew you were the favorite. You may have been just like me. I knew in the family I was the favorite. And my sisters know, can I tell you this? You're not going to like me about this. This is not a good story that shows my greatness. But my mother left her Facebook page open, right? Which is a dangerous thing to do. And so I went on her computer and sent Tawny, my youngest sister, a message on her Facebook where everybody could read it. Not a private message, on the wall. And I put on there, I just put, Tawny, I just need you to know. I've been thinking about this for a while, but I need you to know that your brother is my favorite child. It's terrible. It's terrible. Well, she put a message on underneath this. I was going to delete this, Mom. But, you know, we all knew this. You didn't have to say it out loud. We all knew this. And I'm going to leave it up here so everybody can see it and know that I'm not the favorite child. My mom had to call her and tell her it was me. She was very upset at me for a little while, but that was hysterical. But it did reveal that we all really knew that. I was wondering if they knew it, but they do. Both my sisters know. And so that can cause some major strife among siblings. But this is the thing, is also I believe Jacob was dealing with a root of bitterness that Esau later dealt with the same root of bitterness. Jacob's bitterness was toward God, even though he wouldn't absolutely come out and say it was God. And I think most people, their bitterness is not toward a person, it is toward God if they would really be truthful with themselves. When it came to Jacob, God could have made me the firstborn, but he let me come in last place. He knew it life could be easier for me if he would put me up at the front. Because see, Esau was very athletic. Esau worked hard. Esau would go out the field until he was exhausted, come home and pass out. Esau, you know, he could have looked, see, God, Esau would make it. I'm not as athletic. I don't do as much. I can't work as hard. And if, Lord, you would have only made me first, I would have been set up. And Esau would have made it anyway. Because of how hard he works, his ethics, how he does this. Father, you could have put me in first place. Esau would have made it no matter what. But Lord, seems like you give everybody that has whatever. You give this person everything and leave me at the end of the bottom of the barrel. Esau or Jacob's problem was not with Esau. It was really with the Lord. And then later Esau, this is terrible. I mean, just if you think about it in the natural, this is a terrible deal. Have you ever been done wrong and then the other person seemed to prosper? Oh, my goodness. Esau got ripped off by his brother Jacob. Jacob got the blessing and then Jacob prospered. Why in the world? So all of a sudden Esau's getting bitter, and we know that he's bitter because when Jacob goes to marry a good woman, a good godly woman that pleases his father says, don't go to Canaan. Don't go over to Canaan and marry a woman because that's where the ascendants of Ishmael are, and they do not serve the Lord. And Jacob said, yes, sir. And he went off and got a good godly wife, and his father was pleased. And Esau said, I'm going to show him. Esau already had two wives, and that's one too many. That is one too many. And he went to Canaan immediately. He went to Canaan immediately and married a woman and came home to despise his father. Bitterness. Now look, he hurt his father, guaranteed. And when you act out of bitterness, you'll hurt him. You'll hurt him. I hope it's good enough for you to hurt him. It'll cause you to get in debt. It'll cause you to look, okay, my brother or sister or the Joneses or whoever else is, you know, living in this big of a house. I've got to get there too. I've got to show them that I'm doing well. Yeah, they hurt me, but I'm going to show them they didn't affect me. So they go out and get in debt. Did they make an impression? I'm sure they did. I'm sure the Joneses noticed. Maybe they noticed. I don't know. Maybe your brother noticed. At family reunions, people are noticing. But who you're truly hurting is yourself. Because in the end, if you get into more debt than you can pay off, who you truly hurting, that pressure is on you. It's not on the Joneses. They could care less if you make or do not make your payments. You're not hurting them. You hurt the father. Okay, Esau, he hurt his father, but he hurt himself more. Because all of a sudden, he's getting more and more out of the will of God. He's also creating an environment for his kids not to hear the things about the Lord. He's creating atmospheres where the Lord is not moving. Blessings are not flowing simply because he had a root of bitterness in his life. Adam and Eve, root of bitterness. The devil came in. Now look, we read this story and we think it's one day. Like Jesus created, or God created Adam and Eve and named all the animals. They got together and then all of a sudden they felt, we have no idea how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. So, and the enemy was coming in talking. I personally believe it was a long time. If I'm wrong, what does it matter? Nothing at all. But I believe the devil came in on a daily basis talking to Eve, just having a conversation with Eve, becoming chums, good friends with Eve. And then the enemy begins to speak to Eve, talks about the garden, talks about what did God say? What is this tree over here? And learning more and more about what God said. And then one day the devil says, look, God's holding out on you. You could have a relationship with the Lord. You could become God yourself, knowing good and evil if you would just eat of the tree. The sad thing was God, Eve and Adam already knew the Lord. God came down every day in the cool of the evening and walked with Adam and Eve. Already had a relationship with Adam and Eve. And the devil lied and said, you'll be like God. You'll be just like him. You'll be on the same playing field with him. But they were already on a great relationship with the Lord. He said, you'll know good Guess what? They already knew good. They walked with the Lord every day. And then he said, you'll know evil. Well, the thing was, they were never intended to know evil. They weren't created to know evil. And the enemy lied, and all of a sudden, Eve, a little root of bitterness is planted in her life. Why would God hold out on me? And I believe this is the key to the majority of sin, fault, and failure in the world. Why is God holding out on me? Why is God holding out on me? How many times has this question been asked in several different ways? Why does God hate me? Why is God against me? Why did God do this to me? When the key is, we know God is not of evil, so He brings no evil to us. He doesn't hurt us. He doesn't cause us to fall. He gives us every opportunity and every chance. Well, let's go back to Jacob too. Jacob was blessed. And people have asked, why would God bless Jacob when he even started out trying to trick and steal everything from his brother? My simple answer is the same reason God blesses you, even though you've done someone else wrong. Oh, don't act like I'm the only person to do someone wrong. But Pastor, you've done someone wrong? Yeah. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes not. Like my sister, that was totally on purpose. I did that on purpose. But there's times that I've hurt people not knowing that I've hurt them. Sometimes I've said something and hurt people's feelings and didn't even know that I hurt their feelings. And if that's you, I am sorry. That's never my intention. I don't want to hurt anyone most of the time. Most of the time, I have no desire to hurt anyone. And I've done that. I know I have. People have told me in the past that I have. And for you that were able to get over it and move forward, kudos to you. And I just never want to hinder somebody from coming into the kingdom of God, going to another church, listening to another minister, because it's fine. You know, God calls people here. I believe He calls a lot of people here. And but, you know, there's some people that can't get over things. I know. The Lord spoke to me one time and said, so-and-so is going to be leaving. Warned me. I think the Lord warns us of a lot of things if we just listen. And He says, they have to go. Don't do anything. And I asked the Lord, if I do something, could we keep them? And the Lord said, yeah, but don't. Don't. They're leaving. They're following me. And it's for both of you, really. It's for both of you. Because what happened was a root of bitterness got in. And they couldn't get over the bitterness toward me. And can I tell you something? Bitterness is cancer. It will kill you. It will destroy your life. You can have a bright future ahead of you. And if you allow bitterness in, it will arrest your development. It will stop you from moving forward. It will hold you in prison. It will cause you to make decisions that are anti-God and anti-you. It'll send you into alcoholism. It'll send you to be drugged up. It will send you in a path that will destroy your life. Bitterness is a cancer. And you know what you do to cancer? You get it out. You get it out of your life. So we've looked at Adam and Eve. We've looked at Esau and Jacob. Now the interesting thing about Esau and Jacob and Adam and Eve is they both sold out over food. Isn't that interesting? I mean, am I the only one that finds that extremely interesting? Food. Something to eat. I have eaten a lot of good things. And you know, if you ever listen to me, I love food. I don't eat to live. I don't live to eat. But somewhere in the middle, I do a little bit of both. Probably a more living to eat than eating to live. I mean, food is delicious. But I'm not going to sell out my future for food. Oh, my Lord. And just think about this. How many people have sold out their future for stupid things? And you may have been one of those people. And thank God we can ask for forgiveness and move forward. But there are people who sell out their future for a momentary moment. Maybe, let's even look at it this way. What if it was a year or two of pleasure and then you lost everything? Holy Jesus, nothing is worth selling your whole future out for a moment, a year, 3 years, 5 years. Nothing's worth selling your future with the Lord and His destiny He has for you out. Nothing. Now, the good news is, if that has been you, we can ask for forgiveness and move forward. Amen. And I want to say this very clearly. Let's not get into bitterness about it. Not only let's not get into bitterness about it, but let's move forward and not hold on to the past. Because if you hold on and replay the past over and over and over, what will happen is you will get a root of bitterness, but it'll be a root of bitterness at yourself. Instead of forgiving someone else, you're going to have to forgive you. Have you found Ruth chapter 1? Now, when it comes to bitterness here, we're looking at Naomi. Now, Naomi lost her sons and her husband to a famine. And she is talking to her daughter-in-law, and this is what she says, Ruth 1 and 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt with me very bitterly with me. Now, isn't that interesting? She is saying that God has done this to her. I want to read this out of God's Word translation. Verse 20, she answered them, don't call me Naomi, which means sweet. Call me Mara, which is bitterness, because Almighty has made my life very bitter. I believe most people, this is their response to bad things happening in their life. They may not say it out loud. They may not put it two and two together. But if they really search their heart, their bitterness is not at their job letting them go. Their bitterness is not at their spouse leaving them. Their bitterness is not at the things that have happened in life that they are upset with. But the true root of it is they look to God and say it's His fault. He could have done something. He could have saved me. And this is where Naomi is. Now, Mara, where else do we see the word Mara? Come on, my Bible scholars. What? Bitter water. That's you got it. The children of Israel are leaving Egypt where they have been slaves for 400 years. 400 years of being slaves. And they are being let out. You know, the whole Charlton Heston, let my people go, right? You've seen that movie? All right, good. We had to watch it every year. And so they get to the land of Mara. They're all getting around, getting ready to drink, and they drink of the water, and it is bitter. Now, most theologians, which we will see later, believe that what was planted or what grew around the lake was wormwood. Wormwood. And the roots of wormwood actually are extremely bitter. And we're going to see this in Scripture later. But wormwood was actually used, the roots were used as medicine for a short period of time. You want to know why it was only for a short period of time? Because it caused violent seizures, it caused hallucinations, and it killed people. So good reason not to use it as medicine. Right. And so what they believe, a lot of theologians believe that this wormwood plant was growing around and then rain and then washing into the lake, that the water filtering through the roots, that it caused the water to become very bitter. Now, the good news is God told Moses, you know, get this plant tree and strike the water and it will become sweet. And they drank and everything was good. Right. All right. And so this is where we see the word Mara. Mara just simply means bitter. It just means bitterness. So Naomi's dealing with bitterness in her heart. She's blaming the Lord. I believe many people blame the Lord for their problems and for things that they've had wrong. Whether or not it was their fault, sometimes people blame God for something that absolutely is their own fault. And then there are times that bad things happen simply because we live in a world where sin has come into with Adam and Eve, a fallen world, and bad things happen in this world. And instead of blaming the true root of the issue, we blame God. I've had somebody tell me, God could have stopped this because He's sovereign. I had someone tell me one time, I have problems with the Lord. I have issues with God. And I have to work through these issues. And they said, my issue is because God knew this was going to happen in His sovereignty, and He did nothing about it. And I've heard this on TV when things happen. And this was a terrible case that happened. I think it was at Devil's Lake last year or a year or two ago, where a minister and his family were out. A man of God, right? Out camping, and a limb falls off of a tree and kills his wife. And him on national television said, I believe in the sovereignty of God. And so this must be His will. Can I tell you, it is not the will of God that a limb fall off of any tree and kill anyone's spouse, if they serve the Lord or don't serve the Lord. That is not the will of God. Why did something like that happen? There are some rotten limbs and trees. You know, I love going camping all the time. And one of the things that you read is check the trees that are above you. Always look, because they're called widowmakers. Because it happens a lot in camping. And especially, I enjoy hammock camping, where it's like a tent, but you're in between two trees. So you have to be under a tree. And they say all the time, if that's what you're doing, you better inspect that tree. Why? Because there are rotten limbs. And all it takes is one rotten limb to fall. God didn't do it. God had nothing to do with it. But let me just talk about the word sovereignty for a moment. Sovereignty just basically means all powerful. All powerful. And so when we're saying that God is sovereign in that term or that text, we're wrong. We're using it completely wrong. Sovereign means God is all powerful. And God in His all powerfulness gave us free will. Free will. And so to say God could have stopped it is wrong, because He gave you free will, so He can't override His own self by intervening in your free will.
That's right.
And so it's not the Lord. We can't blame these things on God. We can't blame accidents on the Lord. And for some odd reason, I remember in insurance one time getting homeowners and all this good stuff, insurance, and they said, we cover you, blah, 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 except acts of God, right? Acts of God. And I remember telling my adjuster, I said, well, you know, I kind of like to blame that on the other guy. And he said, what? I said, I'm not blaming, you know, F5 tornado on the Lord. And they even call it the finger of God. They call it F5, the strongest tornado, the finger of God. And I'm here like, that has nothing to do with the Lord. If you've, you know, ever gone to school in, you know, fourth grade, when you start to research hot air, cold air, swirling, I mean, this is what it comes down to. It's not the sovereignty of God. But yet those terms have caused so much bitterness. And can I tell you this? Ministers haven't helped. We haven't helped. When ministers don't have an answer, I'm going to be very clear. I don't have a lot of answers. I don't have a lot of answers for you. And I'm fine with saying, I don't know. I'll look it up, I'll research, but I may never come up with an answer for you. But the problem is, you know, ministers are expected to know all these answers. And so they come up with lies, and they don't mean for them to hurt, but they do. And they say, well, what happened to Mom? You know, she was killed in this. And they said, well, the Lord needed another angel in heaven. First of all, you don't become angels. You do not become angels. You don't grow wings. There is no bell going to shake for you, and all of a sudden, boom, boom. Oh, look at this. You don't even need wings. All the angels in heaven don't even have wings. If you research angels, you're not going to become an angel. I mean, theologically, let's just get into that for a moment. Let's just break this down theologically. The Lord needed another angel in heaven. So you're telling me He didn't know how many He needed from the beginning? I thought God was the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end, knower of all things. So you're telling me He started off and thought, hold on, Jesus, we're about a trillion short. I somehow didn't carry the one and messed up the whole math problem here. Be like, looky here. So if we could cause, you know, like a mass pile up in a couple big cities, we should be okay for a couple more minutes. And then a couple earthquakes. We'll do this slowly. We don't want to wipe out all of humanity, but I need some more angels. That's not how it happens. That is not how it happens. I mean, you have to break it down. It's ridiculous, but we say it, we believe it, and we cause people to have a bitter root in their heart toward God. They hate Him forever because He was the one who did it. God had nothing to do with it. And sovereignty does not mean that God had the will that they die, or something bad happened to you, or that you were hurt as a child. That is not the sovereignty will of God. That has nothing to do with it. So, you know, some people get bitter because their marriages fail, their businesses fail, but that has nothing to do with the sovereignty of God. We make choices every day that bring us into things. We trust people that maybe we had a little in our heart not to do. Can I tell you, this is actually a really good one. It's so simple, and it didn't hurt anyone, but it was awesome. Jessie, the other day, we were going somewhere, and she said, She put a band in her hair, right? And her band broke. And she said, oh, on the inside of me, I knew the Holy Spirit prompted me. Something so simple. Go get an extra band. And that band was upstairs, and I didn't want to walk upstairs to go get it. And she said, the Lord, something so simple. So cause, she says because of her laziness. Because we were late, not lazy. Sorry. We were late. Yeah, oops. Yeah, I wasn't thinking laziness at all. I was thinking late, too. That surprised me when you said lazy. Everybody put your hands toward me. We're going to pray. Am I turning red? Because I feel a little red right now. Am I? Yeah. It's very rare that I turn red. No, so in all of this, it broke. And she said, I know the Holy Spirit was prompting me to go get one. Something so simple. And I didn't do it. And right before we get out of the vehicle, it breaks and her hair comes down. And she said, I knew the Holy Spirit was telling me. And she said out loud, okay, Lord, next time I will listen. Thank you for letting me know. So God even tells some of us, some things gives us a little prompting and we override that prompting. Or we never develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit for Him to even speak to us, to warn us not to do some things. God is always speaking. So last week we said bitterness will give you a root of deception. It will defile. And the third one that I didn't get to last week was it depresses. It depresses. Hebrews 12 and 16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. We're talking about Esau. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. In other words, he didn't repent. He blamed his brother for the wrongdoing, and never, there's many people who disguise their own sin or their own fault, their own problems, because they have been done wrong. I don't need to apologize for anything. It's their fault. It is their fault. How about this? Business deals that maybe the Lord even prompted you on. Maybe you loaned someone money that you knew not to loan money. You knew on the inside, I don't need to loan. I can't loan them this money. I shouldn't loan them this money. But you did it anyway. You override what you knew. And then you get to a place where instead of repenting, God, why did you allow this to happen? I needed that money. I needed that. I could have done better with this. And the Lord prompted you not to do something, and you overrode it, and you see no need for repentance. It's hard to repent when you've had something bad done to you. It's hard to recognize you had a fault to play. Now, some of you, I'm not saying every time something happened to you, you have a part to play in it. Sometimes there's just some things you could never avoid. And we have got to get to a place where we are living in God's repentance, His glory, and out of bitterness. Now, I want to say this. The word ungodly here, the base word means to walk around. The word gives the impression that we're not making a mistake. So if you're ungodly, you can't say that you're ungodly if you made a mistake and you repented. Ungodliness means this is the way I live. I'm going to live in a manner that is ungodly. I'm going to walk every day in that to please the flesh. Now, Deuteronomy 28, many people, I'm ending here, many people have seen Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, blessing the field, blessed here, blessed there, blessed that. Now, we've talked about curses. Let's just go ahead and say this. Curses, instead of using the word curse, let's use the word calls or, you know, something along that line. Because God is giving us direction on what will bless our life. All we have to do is fall in line with God's word. And He's showing all the bad things that can happen to us. And what comes from that is walking outside of the will of God. And some people want to act like a magical curse. Like it's this spooky thing I had no help with. You know, somebody just came and did a mantra or an incantation and all of a sudden now I'm cursed. That's not how curses work. That's not how curses work. Curses are getting outside of the will of God. It's cause and effect. My daddy used to tell me everything that came my way was a reward. If I got in trouble, punishment was a reward. For doing the wrong thing. And then blessing and things of that nature was a reward for doing the right thing. And so I believe in our life, when it comes to finances, saving for the future, all this, we are rewarded for doing the right thing. There's a reward. And then there is a curse for not doing the right thing, which is just cause of not ever walking in the right direction in that area. Now, So, Psalms chapter 69, I'm going to read just a couple more scriptures and we're going to be done here. Psalms chapter 69 and verse 21 is a Masonic message, or scripture, which means it's a prophecy about the future of Jesus. Anytime you have a scripture like that, it is a prophecy of Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled them all. Psalm 69 and 21, they gave me also gall for my meat. Many of your translations say bitterness. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Now, the fulfillment of this is Matthew 27:35, which says, they gave him vinegar to drink and mingled it with gall. And when he had a taste thereof, he would not drink. Now, in our lives, every one of us will taste bitterness. Every one of us will have wonderful moments to allow a bitter root to come into our life. Just because a bitter thing happens to you does not mean you're bitter. Just because a horrible thing happened to you, makes you sad, does not mean that you're bitter. I want to say this very clearly as well. Just because something has happened in your life that has destroyed a relationship with you and someone, just because you will never allow that person in your life again does not mean you're bitter with them. You know, if somebody's done you wrong over and over and over and over and over again, you would have to be a fool to continue to allow them in your life. You would have to be a fool. And the sad thing is, there's a lot of fools in the world trying to act in a godly principle. I have to forgive them, Pastor. Yes, you do. But I use this silly illustration. If I go to Bob's house and talk to Bob, and Bob greets me at the door and punches me right in the face, busts my nose, I go down, blood going everywhere. And Bob says, Pastor, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I just saw your face and I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it. I had to punch it. Bob knows what I'm talking about. He's had to restrain himself several times. And I'm like, Bob, all right, I'm giving you this one. And so the next time, maybe 3 months go by, you know, I'm not hanging around Bob a whole lot because he just punched me in the face. He's asked for forgiveness. I forgive Bob. I come to his house again. Just as soon as I walk in the door, you know, I'm a little ready this time. And he's like, comes in to hugs me. And right as I go in to hug him, he sucker punches me right in the face again. Busts my nose. Blood goes everywhere. I go to the ground holding the blood in. Rosie is pushing Bob out of the way, trying to get me something for my nose. And Bob says, Pastor, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I saw your mug. I knew you were going to protect your face. And I just had to punch it. You know what? I'm not really going to give Bob a third chance. I'd be insane to give Bob a third chance. But even if I gave Bob a third chance and he punched me in the face again, I would be a fool to continue to hang around Bob. I'd absolutely be a fool. So you know what? My future with Bob will never look like my past with Bob. Me and Bob, you know, to love him, I'm going to need some space from him. Whatever it is, it may be me a little bit. I don't know. Maybe this mug. Maybe Bob a little bit. Bob's got some issues he needs to deal with. Right? But I would be a fool to allow him into my life. So forgiveness does not mean restoration. That's why we have two different words for forgiveness and restoration. A lot of people believe if you forgive them, you have to restore them to that place in your life. No, you do not. No, you do not. So me and Bob, now thankfully this is just a story. Me and Bob are good. I love Bob. Bob loves me. He doesn't want to punch me in my face. Right, Bob?
Right.
All right. Just wanted to make sure of that. And so there are people in my life that I hold no ill will against. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to key their car. When their name is said, you know, acid reflex doesn't all of a sudden just come up. I don't want to have nothing to do with them. They don't even come up in my mind anymore unless somebody else brings them up. Right. But my past and my future would never look the same with them ever, ever again. And so we're all going to come to the place where we will taste bitterness. Somebody will do us wrong. A situation will hurt. Something that we had nothing to do with. Or maybe we did have something. Maybe we hurt someone else. And we're a little bitter at our own self because we recognize how much we've changed in the past. Where we used to maybe do something that we don't do anymore. And we keep condemning ourselves. Sometimes we've got to deal with a bitter root about us. And you're going to have to get over it. You're going to have to get this root out. But it may not just be you. You may not be the only person. You're going to have to take it before the Lord. Now, Jesus did not drink of this bitterness. He did not drink of it. You'll taste it, but you are the one that will decide whether you will drink this or not. You are the one who will decide whether or not you allow bitterness into your life or you do not. Let's bow our heads. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer this morning. The reason I ask you, we always ask people to bow their heads because we're going to talk to the Lord for a moment. And we're going to ask Him to guide and direct us in this. The question is, will you drink of it? Have you drinking? With our eyes closed and us focusing on the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, our Savior Jesus, our Creator God. Is there something that has happened to you that has caused resentment, hurt, or bitterness in your life? If so, we need to forgive. Just like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, maybe somebody, as the example I used, maybe somebody did something to you and they asked for forgiveness. Well, we need to forgive them. It does not mean our relationship must be restored, but we have got to let go of the bitterness and the hurt and the resentment. Because just like Esau, all we're doing, and just like Eve and Adam, all we're doing is hurting ourselves. Some of us may need to forgive yourself. Maybe we have to forgive ourselves of things that we've done in the past. And that means let it go. Don't play it over in your mind anymore. Recognize it was a mistake and move on. Stop rehearsing the problem in your own mind. Some of us need to forgive God. And that may sound a little strange this morning, but the word forgive means to release. And we need to say to God, this happened to me, and I am no longer holding you responsible for this anymore. I know it wasn't you who did this to me. So whatever it is right now, let's just begin to have a conversation with the Lord. If you have to forgive God, tell Him right now, Father, I release you. I realize this wasn't you. If you need to forgive someone, go ahead and call their name out and say, God, I forgive so-and-so. You might need to say it out loud. You might need to just say it on the inside of you. Father, right now, we release all those people who have hurt us. We release every situation that we've dealt with that's caused bitterness in our life. Family members, friends, co-workers, our mother, our father, even you, God. We're sorry that we gave the wrong definition to sovereignty. That we thought you in some way, shape, or form caused this to happen to us. We release that now. And some of us might have to say, God, we forgive that person. Now help me forgive them. I'm not going to ask anybody to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up this morning. But if you'll say, Pastor, that was me. I've had a root of bitterness in my heart. I've had resentment and hurt towards someone. And today, I'm making that declaration before the Lord that I forgive them. I release them from this pain that's been hurting me, that has trapped me, that has caused me not to develop or move forward in your will or in my destiny. If that's you, would you raise your hand and put it right back down? Thank you. I see your hands. Hands are popping up all over this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to pray for you this morning. Anyone else says, that's me, Pastor. Pray for me this morning. Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else says, that's me. I know that I've had resentment in my heart. I know that I've been dealing with bitterness. And today I'm going to let it go. Was that anyone else who would say, Pastor, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I thank you for everybody here that raised their hand, acknowledging that there's some issue in their life that they have to let go and release people from. I know this is not easy, God. I know the pain that they felt was real. The disappointment that they felt was real. But God, as they take a step of faith, I thank you that you are with them. You are guiding them. You are directing them. I pray that they would be rooted and grounded in love, that they would be able to comprehend with all saints. They would know. Lord, some of them may need to tell the other one that they forgive them. Some of them may have to just get to a place where they speak to you privately and let everything out. Some of us may need to just move on. But Lord, whatever the process is for us, you will show them clearly. You will make it very plain for them. They will follow after you and they will never be the same. This root, this bitterness, this guile that is on the inside of them, we let it go today. And we move forward. I thank you for bringing healing to their hearts. Emotionally, putting them back together again. Father, I thank you even for the person that has dealt with this and really didn't let anyone know and has held on to it for so tight that it's caused them pain. It is done. It is over. And they will not deal with this anymore. I thank you, Father, that you come to heal the brokenhearted. You come to do what no one else could. What no psychiatrist, what nothing, no 12-step program, nothing could do for us. You are the one who heals our broken heart. I thank you for it. Father, I pray over everybody here that as they leave this place, they will not leave your presence. Lord, that you will cause a blessing on their life, that they will see you throughout the week. You will lead them, guide them, direct them. You will become more real to us than we have ever known you before in our life. We thank you, Father, that we are walking with you. We know you. We know good because you are our Lord. I thank you for blessing on their life in Jesus' holy name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just give God a shout of praise.